The Secret Door to Success, Chapter 2, Bricks Without Straw. In the fifth chapter of Exodus, we have a picture of everyday life when giving a metaphysical interpretation. The children of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh, the cruel taskmaster, ruler of Egypt. They were kept in slavery, making bricks, and were hated and despised. Moses had orders from the Lord to deliver his people from bondage. Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." He not only refused to let them go, but told them he would make their tasks even more difficult. They must make bricks without straw being provided for them. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." It was impossible to make bricks without straw. The children of Israel were completely crushed by Pharaoh. They were beaten for not producing the bricks. And then came the message from Jehovah. "Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tale number of bricks." Working with spiritual law, they could make bricks without straw, which means to accomplish the seemingly impossible. How often in life people are confronted with this situation. Agnes M. Lawson, in her Hints to Bible Students, says, "The life in Egypt under foreign oppression is the symbol of man under the hard taskmasters of destructive thinking. Pride, fear, resentment, ill will, etc. The deliverance under Moses is the freedom man gains from the taskmasters as he learns the law of life. For we can never come under grace except we first know the law. The law must be made known in order to be fulfilled." In the 111th Psalm, we read in the final verse, "The fear of the Lord, or law, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Now, if we read the word Lord, law, it will give us the key to the statement. The fear of the law, karmic law, is the beginning of wisdom, not the fear of the Lord. When we know that whatever we send out comes back, we begin to be afraid of our own boomerangs. I read in a medical journal the following facts telling of the boomerang this great Pharaoh received. It would appear that flesh is indeed heir to a long and ancient line of ills. When, as was revealed by Lord Monaghan at the lecture of Leeds, that the Pharaoh of the oppression suffered from hardening of the heart in a literal sense. Lord Monaghan showed some remarkable photographic slides of results of surgical operations 1,000 years before Christ, and among these was a slide of the actual anatomical remains of the Pharaoh of the oppression. The large vessel springing from the heart was in such a well-preserved state as to enable sections of it to be made recently from the lantern slide. It was impossible to distinguish between the ancient and modern vessel. Both hearts had been attacked by atheroma, a condition in which calcium salts are deposited in the walls of the vessel, making it rigid and inelastic. Inadequate expanse to the stream of blood from the heart caused the vessel to give way. With this condition went the mental changes that occur with a rigid arterial system. A narrowness of outlook, restriction and dread of enterprise, a literal hardening of the heart. So Pharaoh's hardness of heart hardened his own heart. This is as true today as it was several thousand years ago. We're all coming out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Your doubts and fears keep you in slavery. You face a situation which seems hopeless. What can you do? It's a case of making bricks without straw. But remember the words of Jehovah. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale number of bricks. You shall make bricks without straw. God makes a way where there is no way. I was told the story of a woman who needed money for her rent. It was necessary to have it at once, but she knew of no channel. She exhausted every avenue. However, she was a truth student and kept making her affirmations. Her dog whined and wanted to go out. She put on his leash and walked down the street in the accustomed direction. However, the dog pulled at his leash and wanted to go in another direction. She followed, and in the middle of the block, opposite an open park, she looked down and picked up a roll of bills which exactly covered rent. She looked for ads, but never found the owner. There were no houses near where she found it. The reasoning mind, the intellect, takes the throne of Pharaoh in your consciousness. It says continually, "It can't be done. What's the use?" We must drown out these dreary suggestions with a vital affirmation. For example, take this statement. The unexpected happens. My seemingly impossible good now comes to pass. This stops all argument from the army of the aliens, the reasoning mind. The unexpected happens. That is an idea it cannot cope with. Thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Your enemy thoughts, your doubts, fears, and apprehensions. Think of the joy of really being free forever. Free from the Pharaoh of the oppression. To have the idea of security, health, happiness, and abundance established in the subconscious. It would mean a life free from all limitation. It would be the kingdom which Jesus Christ spoke of, where all things are automatically added unto us. I say automatically added unto us because all life is vibration. And when we vibrate to success, happiness, and abundance, the things which symbolize these states of consciousness will attach themselves to us. Feel rich and successful, and suddenly you receive a large check or a beautiful gift. I tell the story showing the working of this law. I went to a party where people played games, and whoever won received a gift. The prize was a beautiful fan. Among those presents was a very rich woman who had everything. Her name was Clara. The poorer and resentful ones got together and whispered, "We hope Clara doesn't get the fan." Of course, Clara won the fan. She was carefree and vibrating to abundance. Envy and resentment short-circuit your good and keep away your fans. If you should happen to be resentful and envious, take the statement, "What God has done for others, He now does for me and more." Then all the fans and things will come your way. No man gives to himself but himself. And no man takes away from himself but himself. The game of life is a game of solitaire. As you change, all conditions will change. Now to go back to Pharaoh, the oppressor. No one loves an oppressor. I remember a friend I had many years ago. Her name was Letty. Her father had plenty of money and supplied her mother and herself with food and clothes, but no luxuries. We went to art school together, and all the students would buy reproductions of the Winged Victory, Whistler's mother, or something to bring art into their home. My friend's father called all these things plunder. He would say, "Don't bring home any plunder." So she lived a colorless life, without a Winged Victory on her bureau, Whistler's mother on the wall. He would say often to my friends and her mother, "When I die, you'll both be well off." One day someone said to Letty, "When are you going abroad?" All art students went abroad. She replied cheerfully, "Not till Papa dies." So people always look forward to being free from lack and oppression. Let us now free ourselves from the tyrants of negative thinking. We've been slaves to doubts, fears, and apprehension, and let us be delivered as Moses delivered the children of Israel and come out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Find the thought which is your great oppressor. Find the kingpin. In the logging camps in the spring, the logs are sent down the rivers in great numbers. Sometimes the logs become crossed and cause a jam. The men look for the log causing the jam, and they call it the kingpin. Straighten it, and the logs rush down the river again. Maybe your kingpin is resentment. Resentment holds back your good. The more you resent, the more you will have to resent. You grow a resentment track in your brain, and your expression will be one of habitual resentment. You'll be avoided and miss the golden opportunities which await you each day. I remember a few years ago, the streets were filled with men selling apples. They got up early to get to the good corners. I passed one several times on Park Avenue. He had the most disagreeable expression I've ever seen. As people passed, he said, "Apples! Apples!" But no one stopped to buy. I invested in an apple and said, "You'll never sell apples unless you change your expression." He replied, "Well, that guy over there took my corner." I said, "Never mind about the corner. You can sell apples right here if you'll look pleasant." He said, "Okay, lady." And I went on. The next day I saw him. His whole expression had changed. He was doing a big business, selling apples with a smile. So find your kingpin. You may have more than one. And your logs of success, happiness, and abundance will go rushing down your river. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall make bricks without straw.